Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South, Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense, Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big, like lines for an offense. Colt-centric, don't take offense. Back in the day, Colts versus Dolphins. Nowadays, it's Jags.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here again tonight. A little bit later tonight than usual, but had some other things going on that I had to get finished up as well. So thank you guys again for joining me, like I said, and thank you guys for everything that you guys are doing. Obviously, get yourselves to the iTunes and get our Apple Podcast, whatever it's called right now, and get over there and give us a rating and review. Those are always really helpful. Those always make a big deal. I mean, they really do bring more people in. And the more people we have in, the more we can do with the show. So that's always a big help. So tonight, kind of like the other night when we talked with our friend George Bremer, we were talking about some of the interesting things that we were expecting to hear from the Colts coordinators. There's always a few tidbits in there. There's always a couple things that'll get you interested, that they'll talk about a certain player or they'll talk about a certain situation that kind of makes you think or kind of makes you really start to wonder what they're talking about, where it feels like they're kind of, you know, leaving you something, you know, like a little Easter egg there that you just kind of got to open up on your own. So let's get into a little bit of what they said. Matt Eberflus, obviously the Colts' new defensive coordinator. I thought that it was kind of interesting, not necessarily interesting, but it did kind of strike a chord with me when I heard him talk about what he was going to do with this system. You know, obviously he talks about it being with four down linemen, Tampa 2, nothing special there. But he says they're going to be running a bunch of different coverages. They're going to run multiple fronts. And the one thing that this is a little different than a 3-4 scheme in terms of everything in the NFL, anything in a pro sport, anything in any sport whatsoever is built on effort, right? But he says that this scheme is basically built around effort and execution. And I love hearing that because it's execution is always going to get you good no matter what. If the team executes, that's going to make the coaching staff look good. Obviously, that makes the team look good and everything else. But when you add the effort in there, I mean, maybe, and it's just me. This kind of stuff gets me excited. If it doesn't you, that's fine. But this is kind of the stuff that I like to see when you hear that a coordinator is talking about, look, basically, that tells me that if you're not, you know, kicking ass out there, you're not going to play. And that's kind of what I want. I want a guy who is looking for that effort constantly from players. Not that big a deal. It's a simple sentence, but I liked it. Yeah. And another thing that he was talking about how Monty Kiffin, Rod Marinelli are a couple of his mentors and Tony Dungy as well. And all three of those guys are all-world defensive coordinators, right? And position coaches in the past and everything else. So think about that when we think about what Matt Eberflus is going to do. There was a bunch of pub coming in about his style as a linebackers coach. And this is kind of like in the past, like last year, you know, guess who brought in his linebackers coach? It was Pagano. But this is a little different situation in my opinion. This guy has a real tree that he's come off of. And not only that, but I don't even know how to explain him because of Dungy, Kiffin, Marinelli, all guys who have taught this scheme and taught it in so many different ways and have been able to find unique ways to present pressure, to be able to get into coverages and stuff. And Eberflus has a little bit of all three of those guys in there. So he's learned so much about this and he's going to be able to get it. And I love that. Now, when we think about the Colts in a 4-3, excuse me, we think about the back in the days with Manning on the offense, and then you think about Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, those days, that era. And that's something that the Colts are wanting to do with this. I think that we look at it, like I said, we talk about this with George, and a lot of what he said was that these guys are going to be built off of changing the game and turning the opposition into a one-dimensional team. That's a lot of what this type of defense is going to do. At least that's what it's aimed at doing. And when they can do that, that's going to be, even that much easier. He did say it is a bit of a challenge transferring, a roster from a 3-4 to a 4-3. There's an adjustment, basically. We all understand that. But he's going to be pushing home that athletic speed situation. I think that that's fun. Nick Sirianni, Colts offensive coordinator. He talked about the Colts a little bit higher than I think that what you would expect. Now, a lot of what they were asking him, which just drives me absolutely crazy, unless they were really digging on some of these. But they keep talking about these stupid tests, as if anybody cares about the tests, and talking about the grading scale and stuff. I can't stand stupid questions like that. Ask him more in depth, like, what about these tests? What are they going to teach them? Nobody asked that. Everybody wants to know what the grading scale is, as if anybody cares. The one thing, when they finally got into it, they asked him a real question. It seems that a lot of the question marks, they said, at a lot of different positions, do you feel like you've got any personnel needed to be, or the personnel needed to be explosive? And he talked about some of the receivers. He talked about how he likes the running back group, but you guys hear this. I think every time George and I have done a show, you hear George say something. We're looking for that guy that the Colts talk about, or a coach or a coordinator or a position coach that talk about without being prompted. And the guy that's under the radar right now, one of them, you guys know that I have a love for Krishan Hogan. I think that he's going to be a great receiver for the Colts this year. I'm not talking like all world or anything. I'm not talking about Pro Bowl, but I'm talking about he's going to be a piece, and I think he's going to make the roster. But I tell you what, Sirianni really likes KJ Brent. He's talking about Chester Rogers, obviously. He knows what T.Y. Hilton brings to the game. But he said that K.J. Brent and Ryan Grant have been catching his eye along with Chester Rogers. And I think that's a really exciting thing to do. I mean, look, Brent is, 6'3", just over 200 pounds. He's got some speed. He's got that length. He could be a guy that they favor a little more than Krishan Hogan. They're about the same height. They're about the same length. Hogan's a little heavier. And George the other night told me, I don't remember if it was on or off the air, but told me how jacked he was, that they thought he was actually a tight end because he was so big, so stacked. And that is impressive to me. That's not Brent, but Brent's a similar receiver. A lot of the Colts receivers right now are at least 6 foot tall. I think all but two. I take that back. All but Hilton, but all but three are at least 200 pounds. And I think that's important. And the Colts really, have shown you that they have a type right now with their receiver core. More importantly, Sirianni said that he believes that they've got real playmakers. Like I said, obviously with the running back group, but he thinks that they've got some playmakers with this offense, with this receiver group. And that's been something that a lot of people around, a lot of analysts at different places have been really kind of shutting down the Colts right now, that they don't feel like they've got much on offense. Obviously, they've been shutting down what they think about the Colts defense as well. But they just don't think that even if Andrew Luck comes back, that he's got enough weapons. Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, those two are going to be a lot of fun. You think about Turbin being that short, down and distance guy. Wilkins is a guy who can really play. And then you get to the wide receiver group and you have guys like Rodgers. You have big receivers who can be not only dynamic guys and can actually run with the ball after the catch, but have a little bit of a possession quality to them for some underneath throws, where you have Rodgers, you have, a Ryan Grant who's kind of an unknown right now. But you also have, that T.Y. Hilton factor, where that Hilton is going to be the guy that's going to take the top off the defense. But that also opens up a ton for Hilton to be a little more of a dynamic route runner. He's going to be asked a little bit more of, when it comes to this coming season. I think that's a lot of fun to think about as well, kind of thinking about what all they can actually use him for and how they're going to, you know, kind of take a little bit off of, you know, just going deep, because that's kind of what he's been relegated to in the past. But he runs some really impressive routes. You know, his post corner is almost untouchable, and he's not scared to run across the middle. That's one of the things that's so nice about T.Y. Hilton, especially for his size. So Sirianni's really excited. He says they've got some playmakers, and I think that's a lot of fun to think about as well. Now, the special teams coach, you know, he's going to be an important guy as well. We're going to kind of pass on that right now because I want to talk about the linebackers coach and Dave Borgonzi as well. He was talking about we've talked about the linebacker positions. He was talking about the, you know, the different situations where these guys are going to be asked to do what. Sam linebacker, Mike, and Will. Obviously, Will's weak side, Mike, and the Will linebacker is going to be the guy who's going to be heavy in pursuit. He's going to be a guy who's asked to cover probably the running back a little bit more. He's going to be opposite side of the tight end more than likely. The Mike, obviously, is the guy in the middle, going to be controlling the middle of the field, be expected to be a little bit more of a run stopper than anything, and be a good zone coverage guy. Sam is going to be the guy who is the strong side, obviously. He's going to match up with the tight end a little bit more. They're going to have a guy who can be athletic and cover him, but they're also going to have a guy who can stick his nose into somebody and take them off their toes. So what he was talking about, and it was interesting, and I'll get to a really cool point here in just a minute about one of the linebackers that I thought you guys will really enjoy. But he starts talking about a great Will linebacker he considers to be Derek Brooks. And you guys remember his days, if I believe, I don't feel like an idiot, but I'm pretty sure Tampa Bay Bucks in the past. And he was, a killer half the time. And then you think of speed, you know, you think of a Mike linebacker, bigger body. You think of a great guy in the system like Brian Urlacher. A bigger guy for the Sam is going to be really, he says, in the base offense, first and second down. So think about that for a minute. Now, what are we looking at Sam? One of my guesses has been that you're going to be looking at probably Antonio Morrison. I think that is a realistic possibility for him, because I think it's kind of his last hurrah with the Colts. If he doesn't nail that, he's in trouble. Zaire Franklin, in my opinion, is a guy who can kind of fit that. You know, Colts seventh round pick. They've also, as you heard George the other night, now keep referring to it. If you haven't listened to it, just go back and listen to it from the other night. George and I's conversation was a lot of fun. But Matthew Adams, the linebacker out of Houston, who's a rookie, and he is a real physical dude. So they've got some options there, but that's going to be something that plays out throughout the offseason, throughout camp and all that stuff. But basically says he's going to be relegated to a first and second down role, and if they don't play as much, he says that they're going to play around 20 to 25 snaps. He basically says that's the guy who gets subbed out with the nickel when they come in for coverage, you know, the extra cornerback. So that's kind of what he's thinking about. And he's talking about trait wise, Will is probably the more athletic of the three. Mike's the bigger, and the Sam is more of a base offense as well. Now it was interesting when they came down and asked about Darius Leonard about what he does. And they're talking about how he is kind of, you know, the traits that he wants out of Will. And he says, yeah, Darius right now, he's a Will linebacker. And I thought that was really interesting, because it kind of led me obviously to read the rest of the sentence. Cause I was like, right now, what does he mean by that? He's a big, strong, athletic guy, and he says that he could be a lot of things. So think about that. Right now, and we've billed him largely as the prototypical Will linebacker for this Colts 4-3 scheme. And it is. And it absolutely is. But think about the future. What is he? I mean, is he maybe a middle linebacker? I don't think so. I just think he's a possible pass rush guy when it comes down to it, because of his speed, length, athleticism, strength, all that stuff included. Maybe that, not so much that they change out him with their positions, but maybe, just maybe, that they find multiple roles for him. right? They use him as a will, but they also want to try to plug him in as somewhat of a designated pass rusher at times. Depending on how this roster shakes out over the next couple years, that could be a possibility if they've got guys, you know, and I'm only using him as an example, but Chris McCain, who's a designated pass rusher through and through right now, that is what he'll be in to do, and that's it for the most part. He's not going to be a run stopper for the most part, and he's going to be the bulk of his snaps are going to be to get after the quarterback. So I think that that's kind of fun to think about his future, Leonard's, that is. And I think that that's, you know, something that we, you know, can kind of be excited about. I think that's something real interesting for the future, for sure. Obviously, the Colts offensive line coach was pretty excited, Dave DeGuglielmo. He's excited about getting, you know, both of them, Nelson and Braden Smith. So I think that obviously he was talking about he doesn't care where he gets them. He wants guys all the time. He doesn't care where they're picked for the most part. He just wants guys. Talked, you know, glowingly about Nelson because that's all anybody wants to talk about when they're asking questions about the offensive line anymore. And we're not going to go any further into that because, like I said, I'm not going to repeat stuff that you guys hear day in and day out. I mean, everybody knows, everybody loves Nelson. You know, they're kind of riding him right now, and that's great. He's going to be an excellent player for the Colts, but we're not going to go into, you know, the question that's been answered 500 times already. They did talk to Robert Mathis. This is kind of the first time I can remember of him talking as a coach or, you know, a consultant or whatever they want to call him. He talked about how interesting it was to be back into this. Now we talked, you know, the other day, and I'm really bad about saying the other day, more like a few weeks ago. We talked about with this Colts defense changing back into a 4-3 Tampa 2. One of the things that we thought previous to that with the Colts being in 3-4 that Robert Mathis coming in, teaching everybody how to pass rush. Yeah, that's great, great. Not so much. I mean, you just don't really get to see the fruits of the labor with that. But now, with Mathis in there teaching the 4-3 scheme that he grew up in and for 9 years as a Colt, this is something that I can really get behind. You should be getting behind. And I think that the Colts coaching staff and the players are all getting behind as well. He's teaching, ultimately, the scheme that he and Freeney just wrecked the league with. And I think that's fun. He's helping. He's a big help to the, you know, to Borgonzi, the linebackers coach. Think about that. You've got a guy on the outside who was that guy for a long time. He knows it as much as anybody. He's going to be able to teach it. You know, guys like Terrell Basham, you know, they did talk about Basham a little bit. And I thought that it just didn't sound like a glowing thing. I'm going to aside real quick here. They said it was Mike Fair, the defensive line coach. He said that Terrell's done a nice job. You know, he's done a great job with getting his body changed. They talked about Rusty Jones, the strength and conditioning guy who has, you know, kind of done good with him. And he says that he's coming in with the right approach. He comes out to work. It doesn't seem like it's a glowing endorsement, but then I kind of kick myself back to what are they doing right now? You know what I mean? And this is not in the middle of training camp where he's saying he's coming out and he's working. You know, that would be a little bit more of it. But this just, it just really isn't anything, to be honest with you, when they talk about what Terrell Basham's doing. I want Terrell Basham to come out and excite them, though. I really do. I'm worried that he's not going to. I was hard on him last year, and I think rightly so. But he was in a scheme that he wasn't comfortable in. He hadn't been used to. This is his home. He should come out and kill it this year. Even if he doesn't rack up a ton of sacks, we have to see him being a guy creating pressure. We have to see him a guy who's way more at home and more comfortable on the field with his hand in the dirt. I'm going to want more from Mike Fair about Terrell Basham as everything goes on. I want to hear Terrell Basham is blowing up practice. I really want to hear that. Back to Mathis, kind of an aside to what I'm talking about with Basham here as well, and I was getting to that. Basham is a guy who needs Mathis. He is a guy who needs somebody to really step on his toes and get him moving. Mathis can do that. Mathis and he were, you know, similarly built, maybe not, whatever. Actually, I think Basham, when you look at size and such, was probably a little more comparable to what Freeney is, but he's got to be a guy who can have quick, lightning fast hands and feet, and good feet, not just quick. You know, he's got to have good feet, and he's got to have accurate hands and be able to attack the joints of the offensive linemen, and to be able to get inside of them too, not just rush off the edge, but to be able to take that inside route and cross the face of the offensive lineman. That's something that's really important. And I think Basham's really got to be a guy who can do that, because if he phases out on that, I think that we might see the last of Basham, to be quite honest with you, and it won't take long, because if he's not a guy who's going to excel, yes, you have to give pass rushers an extra a year or so. That's there's no two ways about that. Pass rushers take a little time to develop. But if you're in the system that you grew up in and you're not developing, it maybe it's the coaches, maybe it's not, but then you're not developing. And we don't have a lot of time for your development. You're not going to develop. They're going to ship you off. They're going to draft or bring somebody else in that can do it and that will do it. So I'm excited to see what Terrell Basham can do for the team. I think he's perfect for it. I just hope that he really blasts off this year, because if he doesn't, it's probably bad news for him. That's just my opinion. And I think with Robert Mathis teaching what he's done, this is where you're going to see the guys coming off the edge really start to show what's happening. They're really going to be guys who are showing where this defense really can be, I think. And I'm glad that Robert Mathis is there, and I think he's going to be perfect for it. And so I think that, you know, Terrell Basham should really honestly try to be as much in Mathis's hip pocket as possible until the season starts. So let's get into Coach Tom Rathman. He's the running backs coach. You know, he was excited talking about how much this is going to be a running back by committee approach. And we've heard Reich talk about that. We've heard, you know, numerous coaches actually, and even Bauer talk about that as well. And I think that that's a fun thing to consider when you look at the way that the Colts backfield is going to be structured. You've got kind of the smaller guy in Nyheim Hines. I'm here to tell you he's a better pass protector than people are giving him credit for, from what I saw, at least from his film. I don't think he's excellent, but he's pretty good. And I'll put it this way. I think that he's better than Mac was last year as a rookie. We'll put it that way. Mac is a guy who's going to have to come back, and we've talked about him, you know, in the past. He's got to be a guy who can come in, be able to get better at pass protection. He's going to be able to have to be a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield better, more efficiently, more effectively. He's going to have to be a guy who doesn't care where he runs the ball. If there's a hole, he's got to be able to hit it. And maybe the holes weren't there for him inside the tackles last year during the season, but he did kick the ball out quite a bit and try to get off the edge. Now, he was lucky last year, because I don't think the defenses that they played typically were ready for him, and he beat a lot of them to the corner. But they're going to ask a lot of him this year. They're going to ask him to be in between the tackles quite a bit. He's not a small guy. 6'1", 212, something like that. He's not a small dude. So he's going to be asked to do a little bit of everything. Hines is going to be a guy who wants to do everything, in my opinion. And like I said, Wilkins is going to be a fun guy to watch to see how he develops. Does he actually do anything that wows you? No, but is he one of the more consistent guys in this offense? He could be. I'm excited to see what Wilkins brings to the offense in the backfield for sure. And I think that we're always going to see, you know, that we've got that short guy, and late down guy in Turbin. Turbin is a reliable guy. He can catch the ball too. I'm excited about this Colts backfield. I truly am. And I just keep thinking about how fun it's going to be able to see them with Andrew Luck running Frank Reich's offense. I think this is going to be one of the more exciting seasons in a long time. We may not yield the results in wins and losses, but I definitely think that this is going to be one of the funner teams, more fun teams that we've seen in a long time. So I'm pretty excited about that. So that's kind of a brief rundown of what we saw with the coaching staff, you know, getting their first licks at a press conference, you know, and that was on Tuesday, so yesterday. But now let's go through, we're going to go through the news, the latest news from the Colts, and we're going to do it right after the break. Welcome back to the Colts Cast, guys. Let's get into the Colts news. I know we kind of did this backwards, but that's okay too. We're good at that. that's kind of what the Colts cast is all about, right? Doing everything backwards, doing it the way we want to do it. Let's look at just kind of the last couple days and what's really kind of stuck out. Obviously, Malik Hooker getting back on the field and kind of, you know, cutting, backpedal, closing. We saw a little bit of that. He was excited. You know, he got his first day actually on the field in cleats. And for Malik Hooker, with that nasty knee injury from last year, that's something that we love. All right. You know, his exact, it wasn't tweet. I think it was Instagram or whatever, but he never, you know, he said that he never sweated taking a loss, just got my mind back right and came back twice as hard. First day on the field was a little rusty, but it's a damn good start. I think he's going to be good to go for the season. I'm not concerned at all, to be honest with you, whether he comes back. If he comes back early in the season, I don't know. Maybe not week one, but he's going to come back, I think. And I don't think that there's really too many people questioning that. And I think that he is such a pivotal part to this Colts defense, guys. You know, whether it's him or Gethers or Farley or whoever is back there, you know, I just think that that's something that's really exciting for the future. I think that the Colts have a nice safety core, and I think that you're going to find out that a good bit of this Colts secondary is going to be a lot better than people are going to give it credit for. On that note, also the Colts did sign Jared Macharo after rookie minicamp, and they waived Anthony Fabiano, who's a center. This is kind of where Slauson fits in. And it looked by some pictures that they were even using Joe Hegg at center in some of the practices. So I think that they're really just kind of giving guys the opportunity to run through several different positions along that offensive line to kind of see if somebody stands out in a role that they've yet to play. But they also took a look at free agent safeties Trey Boston and Kenny Vaccaro. Now, does that mean anything? I don't know. I don't necessarily think so. I don't see. I guess I could see Trey Boston. They're both starting caliber safeties, I think. Okay, but I think that that's kind of a back end type move, just in case Hooker has some sort of a falter through his rehab moving into the season. I just don't see that they really are going to sign either one of those. Personally, maybe they do. I just don't see it. Namely, because right after that, the Colts signed Michael Cirino and cut Kenneth Acker. Now, a lot of people instantly went to that. Oh, the Colts are, you know, they've got these guys visiting, and now they've signed Cirino, who is a guy who was a tryout player, actually. But look, Cirino isn't just a safety. In fact, he played a ton of corner. He played boundary corner. He played some slot. He plays everything, free safety. So he is not, in my opinion, a safety. He's a defensive back who can play in a lot of different roles. And the word out was that he killed it at his tryout. And I think that's really encouraging when you look at him. I mean, his range has been anywhere from 5'11 to 6'1". But a lot of the things that they put out on his draft profile were that, you know, he was really excellent in short area quickness and burst and can break on the ball. That's everything that you want in a zone corner. Okay. Let me just put that out there. I think that I truly do think that he's going to be used as a corner in this. They have him listed as safety. They do call him a safety when they do, but I think that his versatility is what is truly getting the Colts excited about him. You know, if you watch some of his film and take it with a grain of salt, because he's not a big school guy, so a lot of it is highlight tapes. Do not get your entire judgment from highlight tapes. However, you have to look for the little things. Don't look for, did he intercept the ball? Did he break it up? Whatever he did. Look at his feet. Watch his feet. Watch his technique. I don't know how to explain this, you know, if you're just listening to this or watching for that matter. Inside hand, you want to make sure that that's the one you're going after the ball. You don't come after it outside hand, because then you don't have a backhand to try to pull the receiver down. I mean, it's just kind of that simple. just a brief, quick explanation. Unless you are going to get a complete jump on the ball and you think you're going to get the interception, he has really good technique in that regard. That makes sense? Okay. But he shows the same kind of instincts, whether he's playing safety or corner. And a lot of what he did, you'll see him drop off of a receiver in more of a zone look, and he'll break on another one. And he breaks on the ball really well, and he has good timing, and he plays it well. He sets up the quarterback pretty well, makes them commit to a throw, and then comes up to it. So I thought that stuff, I'm not going to go into his tackles, although he does seem to be somewhat of a physical guy. I wasn't a huge fan of how he tackles. A lot of his tackle is grabbing and trying to kind of jerk a guy to the ground. I didn't see that perfect form tackling that I would want, or I think probably that the Colts want out of a cornerback. The way he tackles, if he tackles that way as a corner, or, you know, for that matter, anyway, no matter what position he's playing, if he tackles like that in the NFL, he's going to get hurt because somebody's going to come in, that second and third guy, they're going to get him twisted. He's turning a guy, somebody's going to hit him in the knee, and it's going to be lights out. He needs to be a better tackler when he gets up here, you know, in once we get closer to preseason, if he's sticking to the roster. So I think that that's something that not only critical for him, but it's critical for the entire Colts staff to teach that to these guys, especially these young guys coming in that, you know, are UDFA guys or just whatever. They've got to have real good form tackling on those outside the numbers from their cornerbacks. The safeties have to be powerful. They've got to be good form tacklers and be able to get the guy down, because the Colts simply cannot give up a ton of second and third level yardage like they have in the past. They're terrible second, third and level yardage as defense, and they're terrible at second and third level yardage as an offense, as the running back. So the Colts also visit with former Raven Terrence West. I believe that was today, yesterday, if you're listening to this on Thursday. I'm sorry, that was yesterday. I don't think that this is a big deal. I think this is really just more of Chris Ballard going through his due diligence. I think this is something that you want to consider, because at one time, Terrence West was a pretty good running back, and he had some nice seasons. But it was very short success window, I suppose. And I just think he's just running through players to see if there's somebody that looks better than what he's got right now on the roster. And I think that a lot of what he is doing is relying on his coaching staff to tell them, you know, look, let's maybe kick the tires on a running back or two. Let's kick the tires on a safety or two, just to see what we got. You know, does this kind of, you know, make somebody pout or just whatever? You know, this is what they're wanting to see. And the coaching staff, and this is something that I didn't get to earlier in the show, but a lot of what they're doing is they're just trying to wear these guys out, this coaching staff. And I love that. They want the guys to come back and be tough week after week, day after day. And these guys, you know, they want to see the toughness. Who comes back and who's still ready to kick some ass today? After we wore their butts out last night or yesterday or 2 days ago or whatever it is, that's what they want to see. Who comes back hungry for more? And I think that's interesting. Now, another visit that the Colts had, and this was today, Wednesday, with former Washington Redskins cornerback Bashaud Breeland. This is, to me, an exciting one. This is one of the guys that I was excited about as, you know, free agency kicked off. There wasn't a lot of talk about him. I cannot remember who he was getting ready to sign with, but he was all signed and sealed to somebody. I think it was Carolina, actually. And then he failed his physical because of a foot, like he cut his foot on something or just whatever it was, jacked his foot up. They failed his physical. He went back. The signing did not go through. And one thing that we talked about, I think at the time on the show, and definitely through Twitter, if you guys are on there, follow me at MDainleySB. But we talk about, you know, how good Breeland could be in this defense. He's also a guy who closes on the ball pretty well. He's a physical guy. He's got good ball skills, and he's exciting. He's a high energy guy, and the Colts need one of those on the back end of this defense. Now, if the Colts could land a guy like Breeland, he's not going to be cheap, okay? But he's not going to break the bank either. What does that do with their nickel slot, you know, their slot corner position on defense. I think that that does a few things. I don't think that it limits Pierre Desir to being a boundary corner, just a backup, or maybe even the starter, you know, given depending on how the how training camp goes and everything else, if he if Breland is actually signed. But I think that that nickel corner position really gets a lot more interesting. Desir is more of a boundary guy. I get that. But the Colts want the Colts legitimately want the best talent on the field. And I think Nate Hairston had an excellent season last year, although some people who watched like one or two games of him were idiots and thought that he just was no better than, you know, whoever. And you know, they based it on one game. They just talk to talk. But Hairston had a pretty good season, especially for a guy who we were expecting to be a special teams contributor, not a starter. Started in the nickel role and played pretty well. Didn't play great in the last bit of the season, but he did play well throughout the season as a whole. So when we look at the possibility of signing Breland, I think that Breland brings a lot of things to the table. I think that Breland is primarily a boundary guy, like I said, and I don't think that he would be a guy who would work a ton in the slot. Maybe it'd be a possibility for him, but I just think that he's going to be a guy that the Colts are going to want out on a, on, you know, on the outside. I mean, he's 5'11", he's not 200 pounds, but he has played a little bit of everything. He's also played some safety back in his rookie season, not a bunch, but they were trying to get him on the field because he's an athletic guy. Like I said, good ball skills. Every season in the league, he's played at least 14 games. You know, look at this, okay? Do yourself a favor and go look at the Colts defense and look at passes defensed. It's an over. It's an underrated stat. It's something that a lot of people don't pay attention to because they just looked at they just look at interceptions. That's all they really care about. And if a guy's got an interception or two, that's like, oh, he's only got an interception or two. Listen to this, okay? Breland's passes defensed in his first 4 years in the league. 13, 16, 11, and last year, 19. 19 passes defensed. I think, honestly, that Vontae Davis had like 15 or 16 in his Pro Bowl year. In fact, I'm going to look that up real quick because I don't remember, but I think that that was the case. Vontae was really good and did had, what, two really, really good seasons? And he had a few interceptions on that, and let's see. No, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was way wrong, actually. 27 was Vontae's best year. But look at how consistent Breland has been. So I'm not necessarily comparing the two. But 19 and 16 and 13, I mean, he's constantly doing that. And you look at Vontae's numbers, and he's in single digits for, you know, like all but, what, four of those seasons, other than his first two in Miami. So you want a guy who's going to attack the ball. He's definitely a guy that you can rely on to get a couple interceptions a year. He's a guy who's going to break up a lot of passes, but he's also a high tackle guy, especially in his first few years, the way that they used him. You know, when they brought in the new defensive coordinator, things changed up a little bit, but his first 3 years in the league, he was almost touching 60 tackles solo, okay? Not to mention another 10 to 20 assists on top of that. He was only into almost 50 total tackles last year, but you have to consider the role, okay? And think about Colts or Colts corners when they're playing in a 3-4 versus a 4-3. 4-3, they're designed to be more physical, to come up and help in the run. You're going to see the Colts corners are going to rack up a ton of tackles this year. I mean, they're going to be kind of like the linebackers almost of the secondary, and that's going to be fun to watch as well. So I'm excited about Breland. I think that a lot of people are. And I think that you guys should be too, because that's, if nothing else, that's definitely more talent for the Colts and for what they've got and what they're going to be moving forward with in 2018. Because the Colts and Chris Ballard are going to continue to try to return this roster. They're going to continue to try to bring guys in who can bring up the median level of the talent. We've talked about this several times. We're talking about it again. This is what Chris Ballard's vision is. This is what he's trying to do. And so I think that Bashaud Breland would be a good signing. I also don't think that Chris Ballard's going to get in a bidding war for him. So I think that we'll keep our eyes on that. He did leave Indianapolis and go to Arizona. It was already scheduled, but My guess is that we'll hear something in the next day or two as to whether Breland is going to be an Indianapolis Colt or not. He did end up getting healed up with the foot. They did say that they expect him to pass any and all physical tests that that can be laid out for him. So I think that's exciting. I think that it's exciting, guys, to have a guy like Chris Ballard who's going to go out and get the talent for the right price. Also a young guy, only been in the league for 4 years, like I said, and he's a guy who can definitely make this roster, secondary, defense, all better, kind of instantly, you know. So that's something that we need to look forward to. So thank you guys all for coming tonight. That's all we've got. Just a quick rundown of the Colts coordinators and some news from Indianapolis. So I'm sure we're going to have quite a bit tomorrow. I've got a story going up tomorrow about what Sirianni, kind of a little more in depth about what he said about this Colts offense and some of the playmakers and kind of what he sees in there and who he's compared them to and such. So check that out. There's a lot of great content on Stampede Blue right now. Make sure you guys are getting out to see it. As always, get on Apple Podcasts and get us a rating and review. And love you guys. You guys are great, and continue to help us share the show and make it better. So thank you guys all, and we'll see you next time right here on the Colts Cast.
Stampede Blue.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.